due praise and his honor that he so richly deserved. Certainly we're thankful for all who have come this evening to continue our praise to our God on this day. We trust, as we always say, that when we have completed our worship to our God on the first day of the week, that everything that we would have done will be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So again, we're thankful for our being here this evening. I just want to tip my hat. Hope I can say this on behalf of all of the senior citizens of this congregation that was honored this morning and this afternoon with a special occasion. Certainly we thank you, all of those who had a part in that, as was said this morning. Certainly we enjoyed ourselves to the highest. Just being able to sit back, especially during the time of eating and fellowship and just being served. Sitting back and being served. So we really appreciate that. Certainly appreciate that. This evening I want to have a few words to say concerning the scriptural text that was on the flyer that was advertising the senior citizen program that was taken from Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to look at that and make some application of it as we say some things this evening that would encourage senior members, but not only senior members, but all members of the body of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 40, these passages can be found beginning at, I want to begin at verse 27, because it sort of set the tone of what is being said in verse 28 through 31. I want to read verse 27 from the New English Translation, and then I'll come back and read it in its entirety, the verses from the King James Version. Verse number 27 in the New English Translation says this: "Why do you say, Jacob, why do you say, Israel, the Lord is not aware of what is happening to me? My God is not concerned with my vindication." Then reading from the King James 27 through 31. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, of the ends, rather, of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah, as you know, I'm sure, was that prophet of God who wrote and who spoke to God's people concerning their transgressions that they were guilty of. And also foretelling, if you will, the punishment that would come upon them because of their disobedience. But not only did he talk to them concerning the punishment that would come upon them, in this particular section of the scripture, as well as chapter 41, he is writing, prophesying of the comfort that will come to God's people that were in exile once they had returned to Jerusalem. He lets them know that God has not forgotten them and will again bring blessings to their lives. And that's why I wanted to read verse number 27. Because the question is asked of the Lord to God's people as to why were they saying basically that, Lord, you've forgotten us. He's prophesying something that's going to take place in the future. When they were down in Babylonian exile, they were going to feel as though God had forgotten them, that we are doomed. So he says, why are you saying that the Lord is not aware of what is happening to me? My God is not concerned with my vindication. He says, I haven't forgotten you. I'm going to bless you in due time. They were exhorted to wait on the Lord for renewal of their strength. And so the passages that are so familiar to most of them, I'm sure, says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, when God delivered them from their allotted time in Babylonian captivity, they would be recharged with vigor to continue to be the people that God had called them to be. Our theme for the program that was held this afternoon was retired or recharged. So I want to use that theme just to encourage those of us who have reached those senior citizen years, as well as those who are coming on up the ladder, so that when you get to that point, perhaps the question need to be brought to your mind and brought to our mind. Are we retired, or should we be recharged? The Christian's retirement perspective need to always be kept in mind. We know what it means to retire from our secular jobs. We have a young retired couple in our midst tonight who has just recently retired from their secular job. They don't have to get up, rush down the parkway and Whitesburg Drive and those places, hoping that they'll get to work on time, because they don't have to, quote, punch the clock. And I know most people don't punch clocks, but I'm just saying in that vernacular. Those of us who are retired don't have to worry about that type of thing from our secular job. But is retirement from secular jobs, does it really mean that we are to retire from our being a Christian and our work for the Lord? I hope you will agree with me tonight that it doesn't mean that. As we look at retirement, a Christian should be working for the Lord even before retirement. If then we agree that we should be working for the Lord before retirement, then why would we want to stop working for Him after retirement? Because after all, there is no guarantee that we will retire. Those of us who have retired from secular jobs have been blessed that we got to the point where we could retire. But when we were looking down the road, looking toward retire, that was retirement, there was no guarantee that we would make it to that point. So we should be working for the Lord even before retirement. And since God has blessed us to retire, we need to keep on working for the Lord. So there is no excuse then for the Christian to retire from the work of the Lord. We must remind ourselves of what it takes to gain that eternal crown. It takes our being faithful unto death to gain that eternal crown. That eternal crown does not come simply because we have been faithful up to this point. But we must continue to be faithful all the way unto death. And that crown will come. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing," he says, "I do, forgetting the things that were behind and reaching forth to those things that are before." He says, "I press on." What are you pressing for, Paul? He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." That prize is at the end of life. That prize is in waiting. And it is in a guaranteed state of waiting. It is being kept, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, it is being kept by the power of God. Oh yes, we have it in faith, by faith now, but we don't have it in reality. It will only become real when this life is over and when we stand before God in the judgment and hear Him say, "Well done." So, can we stop then being faithful to God, since the Scripture says, "Be faithful unto death"? We cannot stop working for our God. There is no Christian retirement. So, when the statement is made, "Retired or recharged," we must say no to retire. And we can certainly say yes to recharged. Because sometimes we do get weary along the way. And we need to trust in God to give us the strength to recharge ourselves, to re-energize ourselves, and to keep working for the Master. Yes, we do get tired. We do get weary. But we must not stop. We must keep pressing on. I know we get weary because Paul, before he talked about the fact that he had finished the course, he got weary in his journey. The reason why I know he got weary is because he said on one occasion in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that a brother by the name of Onesiphorus, that he oft refreshed me. Now, when he says he oft refreshed me, that tells me that he got weary. That would have been no refreshing to be realized if he had not got weary. So we get weary, we get tired, but we cannot stop. We must again allow God to recharge us, to renew our strength. And so again, he said, near the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." What if he had not finished his course? The next statement never would have been true. Because he says, "I have finished my course and I have kept the faith," he says, "henceforth there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Paul kept on working. He kept on fighting, even though he got weary along the way. But he kept on going. He kept on allowing God to re-energize him, to recharge him, to give him more strength for the journey. That's what we must do. We must be diligent in our effort to gain that crown. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 10, he says, "Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure." That word diligent means work is involved. We must keep working at it in order to receive that crown. Didn't Paul say to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12? He said this. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," not only, he says, "in my presence, but now much more in my absence." But then he says, "Work out your soul salvation." Don't rest out. Work out. Retirement in God's sight does not exist. We must not rest out our salvation, but we must work it out. Work out, he says, your own salvation with fear and trembling. So Peter says again, give diligence. Work. Be busy, as Paul said to the Corinthian church. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, again, I says, we do get tired. We do get weary. But we must keep on going. God will help us to continue on if we allow him to recharge our battery. But we must wait on him and let him strengthen us for the journey. By the way, my subject is more strength for the journey. He will give us, the book says, more strength for the journey. Again, he says to these, as Isaiah wrote to these, to God's people, as he prophesied about the comfort that God would give them by returning them to their homeland in Jerusalem. He says in verse number 29, again, of Isaiah chapter 40, he says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." You know what that means? He'll give you more strength. He didn't say he'll give you strength, but he says he increases strength. You got a little strength, yes, but you're weary. You think I have forgotten you. You're fainting along the way because you think that I don't even know what's happening to you down in Babylonian exile. I know exactly what's happening to you there because I put you there because of your sins and disobedience. So I know what you're going through. So you got a little strength, but you're weary. But he says, I will increase your strength. I will give you more strength if you just wait on me. You just wait on me and let me charge or recharge your battery. Yes, indeed, we need to be recharged that we might continue on in the journey. And you know what, tonight, brothers and sisters, because of what the Lord has done for us throughout our lives, and I'm talking to us who are senior citizens, specifically now, because of what we know that the Lord has done for us these 60, these 70, these 80 years, however old we may be, because of what the Lord has done for us, it ought to just compel us to continue to do all that we can for him. Because again, he has not left us alone. We may have thought that he'd forgotten us at some point in time, but he didn't forget us. He kept on blessing us. So we ought to feel compelled to give him our all. Yes, indeed, I think about Caleb. And Brother Terrence referred to Caleb in his words this afternoon. I think about a man like Caleb. He had been with Moses all through the wilderness, some 40 plus years. He had seen all the mighty works that God had done. He was one of the 12 spies that was sent to spy out the land. But he was faithfully waiting to reach the land that God had promised. He believed that God would give them the land. And so when the spies came back, all 12 spies came back, 10 had a negative report. 2 had a positive report. 10 says we can't do. 2 says we can do. Listen to Caleb in Numbers chapter 13, and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Isn't that amazing? This God that had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. They didn't have enough faith to believe that God will keep his promise. We can't do what you have told us to do, Lord. You said you will send us to the promised land, but here's some folks over here that are stronger than we. You don't understand. Evidently, you didn't know about these folks over here. They forgot, as John would write to hearers in his day in the book of 1 John, where he says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They forgot that God was greater than those folks over there that they thought was so much stronger. God was greater. So they needed to put their trust and their dependence upon God. But they didn't do it, of course. And they persuaded the people to want to rise up and go back to where God had delivered them. It's a terrible thing, brothers and sisters, to go back to where God has delivered us from. We need to keep charging on. Again, no matter how old we get, we keep charging on. Yes, they wanted to make captains to go back into Egyptian bondage. And that disturbed Caleb and Joshua. So much so, the Bible says, until they tore their clothes. But then listen to them in Joshua chapter 14 in verse number 7. The Bible says, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And I say this to all of us who are seniors. If we look around and see another who wants to go back, we need to encourage them. The Lord is with us. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. The Lord is still with us. Let us keep marching forward. And that's what Joshua and Caleb were saying to these people. The Lord is with us. He's going to give us this land. Yes, indeed. Caleb said this. He says in verse number 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old, as Terrence related this morning. 85 years old. And then he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. And then in verse 12, he says this, now give me this mountain. Caleb, are you crazy? 85 years old, and you talking about give me this mountain? Caleb wanted to still be productive in the work of the Lord, because the people were to go in there and to drive out these other nations that were there. He says, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fierce. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You've been working for 40 years, Caleb. Don't you think it's time to sit down? No, no. Caleb says, there's still work for me to do. I still want to be involved in the work of the Lord. So I would say to all of us who are seniors, let's never get to the point where we don't want to be involved in the work of the Lord. We still need to be like Caleb. Give me this mountain. I still have work to do. The Lord still needs me. Several weeks ago, as you would remember, I talked about
the needs of the master. The Lord needs everybody to be busy in his vineyard. He needs the young, he needs the middle age, he needs the old age to be busy and stay busy in the work of the Lord. So instead of ceasing from the work, he seemed to take on a fresh start. And I know it seemed like to me that had to be a fresh start. Because he says, give me this mountain. See, they had been coming through the wilderness and through the plains, but never had they had to take on the challenge of driving nations out. He says, give me this mountain. If the Lord is going to be with me, I'll be able to drive them out. New challenges and new opportunities, seniors, they lay before us. Retiring from secular work opens the door of opportunity to do more for the Lord. Unfortunately, though, for many, they fill their plate full of everything else but the Lord's work. They travel. Nothing wrong with traveling. They get engaged more and more in hobbies. Nothing wrong with hobbies. They got their bucket list, things that they have been wanting to do all through their life. And so they start working on that bucket list. Nothing wrong with the bucket list. They do more and more home projects. Nothing wrong with that. But so oftentimes, people have a tendency to spend more time in other things that are not directly related with the Lord's work. And they say, well, I worked for so long in the church. Let the young folks do it now. I want to say to our seniors, don't ever sit on the sideline and do nothing and say the young folks need to do it. We need to be working right along with them. We may not get to run as fast as they can. We may not get to jump as high as they jump, but we can still run. We can still jump. Do what we can do. Set an example. Show them how it needs to be done. Don't ever stop working for the Lord. We may not be as strong as Caleb was physically, but certainly we can be as strong as he was spiritually. We need to have the attitude again to do all that we can do for as long as we can do it, the best that we can do it. That's the attitude that we need to possess throughout the remainder of our lives. And we'll be a great example, if you will, to those who are coming behind us. We'll be, as it were, spiritual moms and spiritual dads. You'll be able to show those, this is how it's done. Yes, to those Israelites who felt like the Lord had forgotten them, the Lord says, I hadn't forgotten you. I know exactly what's going on. But if you just wait upon me, you'll renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Retired or recharged. I hope and trust tonight that all of us don't feel as though we are retired, but feel as though we are recharged. That God is recharging and re-energizing us to keep on doing what we can do, bringing glory and honor to the name of the Lord. May God help us to be what we ought to be, that we might be just like Caleb again. Give me this mountain. Oh, I believe he was recharged. He wasn't retired. He was recharged. Give me this mountain. I still want to be active in the work of the Lord. If you're here then tonight, you're subject to the call of the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel, I want to encourage you to do that. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. For the Lord adds you to his church. Become a member of his church. And then get busy in the work of the Lord. And be faithful, how long? Unto death. No retirement. But be faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I will give you a crown of life. We have one that needs to respond this evening for baptism. If you need to respond for confession of sins, maybe you have not been as energized